Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Gary Hankins is here, too, ladies and gentlemen, because he's got something to talk to us about. You and I need, we all need to get better at, and that's making presentations, making pitches to our customers, making proposals and all the different ways that we can do that. Making sure that we put our best foot forward, and Gary Hankins is an expert in that area. He's an expert in business development, and he's the author of The Power of the Pitch, and he's here to talk to us about that. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you. Pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, and you know, Gary, and I don't know if I remember, if I mentioned this the last time you were here, but one of the real benefits, one of the great things that happened to me in my life was in the middle of the 1970s, I went to work for a little company called Xerox.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I worked for them for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they taught me, among other things, was how to prepare a proposal, what a world-class proposal looked like, how to put it together, how to structure it around your message, around what the customer wanted, what they needed and what they wanted, and how you solve their challenges, and how to put it together so that it flowed, so it began with the issue and moved right over through to the solution, and then wound up with what it would cost to make all that happen.
Right.
And to make sure that you did that, you structured the document in the right way, and how to present the document in the right way, and how to make sure if you didn't get the business right at that moment, you made sure the proposal was a leave behind worker bee that kept on working long after you were gone. And that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I can tell you right now, I'm still benefiting from that background.
Sure, I'm sure you are. Well, you said a lot in that, Jim. And Xerox, of course, with their selling skills program, they're one of the best in the business.
PSS, absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's the reason why I'm so glad to have you here today. And the reason why we like your book, The Power of the Pitch. Because you talk about how to do a better job, not only proposals, but also when you're presenting to people, how to deliver these things, these proposals, and to make sure that you're doing a good job.
Absolutely. Well, one of the keys that you just mentioned, Jim, is, and it's something that a lot of people get wrong, and it's unfortunate, and it frequently costs them the business. And that is whether it's a proposal, a written proposal, or even an in-person presentation. People initially talk about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what clients or the customer or the prospect wants to hear about. They want to hear about themselves.
It's all about them. It's not all about you.
Exactly. So in a proposal, you initially, as you pointed out, you want to talk about the issue or issues, their concerns, their challenges, their objectives, what it is that they're focused on, what it is that they're concerned about, and demonstrate that you understand what those are. Then, and only then, after you've put those on the table, do you want to talk about yourself. And then you really want to talk about yourself in terms of the solution, how you can
right.
help them.
Why you and your organization are critical, more critical than anybody on the planet to making this solution happen for them.
Exactly.
But that's
right.
That's after you have developed the idea, you've let them understand that you understand their challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You found a solution for them, maybe more than one solution, and this is your recommendation. And these are the people that we plan to be on board to deliver this solution.
Yeah, exactly right. So. And those issues may come about as a result of information that they've given you, an RFP, request for a proposal, and or you might have scheduled a meeting with them to talk about their issues and their concerns. And once you've gotten that discussed, you have it either in a written format or, as I say, you've spoken with them, then talk about how you can help them and why you're different from everybody else. And as you just pointed out, people buy difference, not similarity. They're going to select you, work with you, because you're different than everybody else, not because you're the same. Mm-hmm. We constantly want to be pointing out those differences and how those differences are going to help them achieve exactly what they're trying to accomplish.
Isn't differentiation the most one of the most important words and concepts that we can have in the 21st century?
Sure, absolutely. And when we think about the companies that have been extremely successful, they've been so because they've been unique. They've been able to differentiate themselves in the marketplace.
Let me tell you a horror story.
Okay.
There's an industry that I know that will remain nameless because it's not important, because it could be a lot of industries, actually. But there is one industry that I know did some research, and they asked, I don't know how many thousands of people coming out of the building of multiple competitors in that industry, which company business they had just been in. 60% of the customers coming out of those buildings could not correctly identify the company that they had just been in.
Mm.
They knew they'd been in that industry's building from one of the players in that industry, one of the big boxes in that industry, but they could not correctly, 60% could not correctly say whose business they had been in because there wasn't a nickel's worth of difference between any of them.
Yeah, well, that's scary.
That's a horror story, isn't it?
Yeah, that's scary, and that can happen.
Well, it scared those guys, but you know what? I still know a little bit about that industry, and they're not doing much about that.
That's not too good.
Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Yeah, that is.
Do the same thing over again and expect a different result.
Yeah, that's a lot of people do that, and of course, ultimately, they wind up going down the tubes in many cases. So we have, let me complete the thought here. Just, we call this sequence ISB, Jim, issue, solution. What's the issue or issues? What's the solution? And then the B part stands for benefits or benefit. How does the client benefit from the solution that you provided? Because people buy benefits. This is something right out of your Xerox training, I'm sure. People buy benefits, not features.
Right.
So your solution is going to be very feature-focused and have lots of them in it. But what people are going to buy are the benefits. When you can show them how it makes them better, helps them achieve what it is that they're going to want to achieve.
Hold on to that thought, Gary. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to make sure that you know what the right benefits are and whose benefits they are that you're leading with. And we'll do that right after these messages. The book is called The Power of the Pitch, and Gary Hankins is the author. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I don't know why they don't explode.
Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our friend Gary Hankins, H-A-N-K-I-N-S. If you're Googling him, he's the author of The Power of the Pitch. Gary, tell us where your book's available, please. Give us your website.
Sure, it's available on my website, which is www.pygmalioninc, which is P-Y-G-M-A-L-I-O-N-I-N-C, pygmalioninc.com. And also at Borders, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, online, and as well as in their bookstores.
Right. And I like the name Pygmalion. Tell the audience why you chose that.
Well, I chose the name Pygmalion because it means transformation. Pygmalion was an ancient Greek god who carved a statue of this beautiful woman and every day prayed to the gods, that is, that the statue become lifelike, real, and vowed that if the gods would grant him this one single wish, he would marry her and treat her well and cherish her for the rest of her life. And they, of course, granted him this wish, and that's exactly what happened. So it means the transformation of some, in this case, inanimate object into something beautiful. Now, George Bernard Shaw took the idea and wrote the book Pygmalion in 1913, which later in the 1960s became a play, My Fair Lady, which
right.
most of us will remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with people. Our objective here at Pygmalion is to help people become dynamic communicators, become as good as they can possibly be at presenting themselves and their message.
Another thing that I've become to know is what's called the Pygmalion effect, and that is where if students are, for example, if young people, if a teacher believes that a student is, you know, has a learning, you know, is not going to be as capable as they should be, that child probably won't be.
Exactly.
And you
exactly.
And it's sort of like, you know, someone once said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right.
Right, exactly. No, that's exactly right, Jim. And that's the way that we work with our clients. We believe everybody can accomplish what they want to accomplish, and we show them how they can make it happen. In some cases, we've worked with people that are introverted, shy, really not too comfortable presenting themselves, not too comfortable talking about themselves, not too comfortable speaking in public,
mm-hmm.
and have had some just tremendous experiences with people where they have just turned themselves around completely in their own life, in their business, what they're doing. And if you show people the good in themselves and you give people an opportunity to find that, it's amazing what can happen.
Well, you know, some of the people that I have known in my life who were the least likely to be a dazzling spokesperson have become the most successful because they didn't take themselves too seriously. They didn't come across fast and slick. Mm-hmm. They really, their nature, it was their nature to focus on their customer. And you know, they might not have had the, you know, the fastest tongue, the glibest tongue, et cetera, but there was something about them that customers loved.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's a business where this whole sales business, being a small business owner, if you are yourself and you're honest and you're genuine and you're really trying to help people, that's your number one focus, you're trying to help people, you can achieve greatness. And fortunately, we have the ability to do that in this country. We have unlimited success if we're only willing to take it.
But I really do believe that it's important to put the relationship that you want to develop with your customers down on paper and give it to them in the form of a proposal that you can present to them. I really
yeah.
believe
yeah,
that
absolutely.
that is one of the most powerful and important steps that you can take in a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And it may be formal, it may be informal. If you're a smaller business, if you have a smaller business, many of the proposals that you deliver will be on the more informal side, maybe even
mm-hmm.
oral.
I have had, Gary, I have had people call me years after I'd given them a proposal and say, Jim, I've got this proposal you gave me, you know, 5 years ago. Is this still valid?
Right.
You know, I'm ready to do business with you now. Do we need to update this a little bit or whatever?
Exactly.
I mean, it's incredible what kind of a worker bee it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that happen too, interestingly, Jim. I've had people come back to me years afterwards, after they initially turned me down and said, you know, it's too expensive, not exactly what we're looking for. Generally, it's been too expensive. And they've come back to me and said, you know, we really like the way that you presented yourself and what you had to say. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. we didn't make the right choice, and we'd love to work with you. So
that's the other thing.
Long-living documents, as you point out.
If they choose the competitor, you know, they still got you. Your work is still there, sort of shining a light on that competitor. Make sure they do a good job and do what they say they're going to do. Gary, give us the website again, please.
Sure. It's www.pygmalioninc.com.
And these are the kinds of things you're going to learn when you read Gary's book, The Power of the Pitch, Transforming Yourself into a Persuasive Presenter and Win More Business. Gary, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Jim, pleasure to be with you.
We'll see you next time.
You got it.
Quick break. Right back with our good friend Rod Kurtz. He's small business editor with Business Week Online. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.